I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure I can recall a single player who has been as strong on the field and off the field and happens to be from that city as David has been. Trifecta of those things is, and so much respect for him, for who he is, the performer on the field, the person off the field, the willingness to fight through adversity, which he has done here also, not too recently. So I don't know what's going to happen. He's a really valuable pitcher, really, really important person. I think we should take that very seriously. Yeah, any conversations I have with him, I'll keep between him and I. I have a huge amount of respect for him.
Fan weather overcast here in Pittsburgh. Steelers training camp practice got moved up today because of potentially inclement weather. That's your fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Ben Cherington on David Bednar and everything David brought to the table, both on the field and off the field. And he sounded Sunday like it would be painful. Like it would be extracting a rotten tooth with no Novocaine to trade him, which I felt like kind of came from the owner when he said that. But there were escalating prices for relief pitchers. We've seen that over the last 2 days. Mason Miller from Bethel Park got traded to the Padres for the number three prospect in baseball. And so the Pirates couldn't help themselves. They've traded David Bednar to the Yankees. The number one player coming back is Rafael Flores, 16 homers, 60 RBI at AAA, 279. He's kind of old. He's 24.
That's pretty old.
So is he older than Henry Davis? How about he's?
No, he's not older than Davis because Davis was a college player drafted 5 years ago.
Right.
So Henry Davis is
25 or 26?
25, almost 26.
And how old is Bart?
Joey Bart, I think, should be even older, like 27 or 28. Okay. Yeah. So he's younger, but it's really you're getting about a year younger than Henry Davis, the guy who was supposed to be your catcher of the future, who clearly isn't. And I will say this. I wanted Ben Cherington to do these deals and try to get the most out of them that he could. But against the Mason Miller deal, and I understand Miller is probably more attractive to teams. He throws 125 miles an hour approximately. He's got more years of control than Bednar does, 3 years as opposed to one more after this year. Man, getting the number three prospect in all of baseball, even if it's a high A player who's 18, is by definition a much better return than the Yankees' internal number eight guy as the headliner in the deal. That's a fact.
Yeah. They did not get a top 100 prospect back. And I believe when we had Noah Hyles on yesterday, he said they would trade David Bednar if they got a top five.
Their ask for any team would be one of your top five, and they did not get that.
And they did not get that. Now, we'll see how good the other two guys are that get thrown in.
But if they're not being mentioned already, I mean, yes, throw-ins occasionally become the bigger parts of deals, but Flores is the biggest part of the deal from the Pirates' standpoint.
I wouldn't have made this trade. And I say that as someone who believes that closers are fungible and replaceable, and Bednar is going to make enough money last year where if I were running the team, I would trade him. But I don't trust with Ben Cherington in charge for them to take Flores at AAA and make him into a good major league hitter.
He's not a
can't-miss prospect.
I don't know how you could feel good about the Pirates' overall developmental abilities here.
That's my beef here. That's my gripe, is that as long as Cherington is overseeing the team, like, part of the did they get enough back is the team that's acquiring the player's ability to cultivate the player and grow the player. And I just don't trust Ben Cherington's operation to do that.
So
now, if it were like, if they got like the 40th ranked prospect in baseball back for David Bednar, I'd say, you know what? I do have misgivings and I've got trust issues with David Bednar.
But he'd be so highly ranked,
right.
You'd say that's okay. So humor me here.
Yes. I'm humoring.
The third ranked player in baseball is Leo DeVries. He goes to the Athletics. Athletics fans they look loaded, at least with hitters. They're like the inverse of the Pirates. The Phillies were another team that was really interested in David Bednar's services, correct?
Yes.
The Phillies have Aiden Miller, who is the 18th ranked prospect in all of baseball. He is a shortstop who should be arriving next year. He's a double-A 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
If the Pirates got Aiden Miller, which if like I'm just doing the sliding scale here of value and team control, you could think they might be able to get for David Bednar. I say great job. I say that feels more in line with what the Athletics managed to get out of A.J. Preller.
Edglin Perez is another player in this deal per passing. Edglin.
Why?
Edglin. E-D-G-L-E-E-N. Edglin Perez. 19, Passan calls him a man with excellent swing decisions.
Well, that would make him unlike anybody in the Pirates organization.
Say, I don't know. Jeff is honest, obviously getting this from someone. He has not watched Edglin Perez play. He had very high praise for Flores. Tore up double A, now at triple A. Top shelf framer, which still matters, but not for much longer.
Not for much longer. A very good centerpiece, Passan calls it.
Regarded as a big league ready catcher.
Is Jeff getting it from the Pirates, from a Pirates source there? The way that's framed, a very good centerpiece would be very beneficial to the Pirates from a PR perspective. Don't you just wonder who gives people what? Although, I don't know if Jeff has many Pirate sources, because I feel like every time he's on TV in a prominent context,
he rips them,
he's nuking them.
Your reaction to the David Bednar deal, 412-928-9370. Here's Daniel on the fan. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not very happy about the trade. I understand that the Pirates are maybe trying to get better players or whatever. The thing is, I feel like we have traded so many great players. I don't know where we're going, and I don't even know if the Pirates will ever get back to the way they were in 2012. When they went to the playoffs, they had a great year that year. But you got to remember, we had great pitching, we had great hitting. And the thing is, who are they? Who's going to be the closer now? And who are they going to try to get to replace?
Yeah, that's such a tertiary concern for me.
That's like the least of my worries. I'd give Carmen Majinski a chance to
or
be
Ashcraft,
their closer.
Or, you know,
like anybody with a live arm who's probably not a starter. Rivera was supposed to be a starter until he couldn't be.
If they don't trade Santana, you let him do it because he's got years left on his deal and he's been excellent this year. He's been the best non-closer in baseball by war.
Pony, Edglin Perez, by the way.
Yeah.
14th ranked prospect in the Yankees system. Also a catcher first baseman is his listed position, and he's 5'10", a buck 55?
No. So they got Craig Riley or Adam Crowley in this deal.
Biggest weakness as a catcher.
So wait, they
can't play in windy conditions.
So they got 8-14 right now?
So far it's 8-14.
The Mets system to the Yankees, the Mets is a little bit better. But the Cardinals got 8-14 from the Mets back for Helsley, their closer, and Helsley's in the final year of his deal.
But not as good as Bednar, probably.
Not lately. I mean, last year he was an all-star. He's got 21 saves this year. But a rental. Mets got two players back for Helsley. Pirates got three. We don't know who this last guy is in the deal at the moment. We know two so far. Flores, a catcher, and Edglin Perez, 19 years old. And
Edglin Perez, you know how they do the 2080? His overall future value, FV, is a fun thing. 45 on the 20-80 scale. Flores, for people who are curious, 40 on that same scale.
Mm. Here is Chuck on the David Bednar trade. Hello, Chuck.
How you doing? I don't like the trade at all, but I bet you Bob Nutting likes it. Get rid of the payroll. And there's a couple hitters.
Well, wait a minute. Why would Bob Nutting, why would he love getting rid of a guy who's from here and probably does put, not a lot, but some fannies in the seats?
He puts butts in the seats.
Well, Nutting isn't going to spend for the team.
Yes, but that is
not the question we asked you. Why would he love the deal if he was having his GM or if his GM traded away a guy who does put fans in the seats?
Well, because Nutting isn't going to spin up for the team, and
yes, that is just kind of again.
I think we kind of put him in a blender very quickly there with a very simple question.
All right, David Bednar traded to the Yankees. We still have 2 hours and 50 minutes to go before the trade deadline. Your reaction to trading David Bednar? He's one of us. He's a Pittsburgher. They finally did it, and they traded him to the hated Yankees. I believe intern Dom said on Twitter this trade blows. Was that the exact terminology you used?
Yeah, pretty much.
So this blows. Yeah, okay, so that's what he's going with. This deal blows. How about you? 412-928-9370. We'll get someone on who's an expert on these guys coming back from the Yankees, too. But first, an intern Jack headline.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just moments ago, the Pirates traded David Bednar to...
Hey, David Bednar has been traded to the Yankees. We now know the entire deal. Rafael Flores, a catcher, the Yankees' number eight prospect. Another guy who can catch and play first, Edgleen Perez, the number 14 prospect, according to Baseball America. And center fielder Brian Sanchez, who is in the Florida League, a single-A center fielder.
Do not even see him in their top 30.
He's not. Flores, just for people that want to know more about him, because he's the biggest name player. Last year, he was the Yankees minor league player of the year. This year, he started the season and played almost the entire year at double-A. So he's 24 and he was at double-A, Chris. He was leading the Eastern League in extra base hits and total bases when he got promoted to triple-A. And he only played at triple-A for 10 games.
Correct. And he had a 677 OPS in triple-A.
So...
Became a much worse hitter up there.
Monster year in the minors last year and was excellent at double-A this year. And I believe he was undrafted. So he is like a Mike Piazza story, so to speak. Where a guy, I mean, think about with all the rounds of the draft... the process here, this is not basketball with two rounds or football with seven. What is it, 20 rounds now?
Looks like he was a JUCO player. Rio Hondo College, which actually produced Evan Longoria and legendary Bobby LaFrambois.
From the 2015 Buccos.
Incredible.
Yeah. So this guy's got some power in the minor leagues. We'll see if it translates to the big leagues. 875 OPS last year, 279.
Early grade from you. I actually downgraded. I went CC plus, and then the more I thought about it, I go D.
D? They,
D, because we heard Noah Hyles say that he, you know, what he felt based on the people he talked to, the organizations asked for would be somebody's top five, you know, one of a top five prospect from an organization. Yankees do not have a great organization compared to a lot of other teams, and they got their 8th, 14th, and unranked.
So, given what the prices were for relief pitchers, you're underwhelmed.
Yeah, and I know,
by this.
And I understand that Mason Miller was not, as somebody did point out, to be fair, J.P. Sears also in that deal, but J.P. Sears is a mediocre starting pitcher.
Now, part of that might be the fact that everybody can hit in that ballpark that they're playing in this year.
J.P. Sears has never really been good, though. Yeah. Like, he was a good pitcher for like 5 minutes for the Yankees.
He's an arm. Adam Crowley, the more I read, the less I like about the Bednar deal. He's chiming in.
Guy named Derek texts me and says, get what you can before Bednar flames out again, I guess, but still don't love it.
412-928-9370. Let's get back to the phones and hear from Patrick in Bethel Park. Hello, Pat.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, man.
I'm kind of flabbergasted right now. You know, it's just year after year, you know, we're out of contention at the break, and the solution is just to get these minor leaguers. It's just like, when is enough enough? Like, when do we get someone who's ready to go right now? You know, when do we make that move? You know, obviously Dave was a great back end of the bullpen, and right now he's not much of a use with the team we currently have. But you look at Mason and all these guys who are getting, you know, the number three pick and all this stuff. It's just, when as fans do we just say, okay, like, can we put somebody on the field and get somebody in return that can make a difference immediately, not down the road?
Well, I mean, thanks. My first blush on this guy was that he would be major league ready because of his age at 24. But he's only played 10 games at AAA. So
is he really that?
Well, because I was going to say, one of the things that people in retrospect say about Henry Davis is that they rushed him and put him in right field, and he never really mastered AAA. He was great at double-A, got rushed through triple-A, got put out in right field, an unnatural position, clearly, and that might have stunted his growth. Now, I'm of the opinion that he wouldn't have been good anyway, but if you're going to do it, attempt to do it right with the player, do right by the guy. And I don't think 10 games at AAA is enough to say, okay, we traded David Bednar for this guy. He's ready to be our everyday catcher immediately. If he hit 279 with 16 homers and 60 ribbies and he was at AAA the entire year, I would say, okay,
bring him up.
Let's see this guy.
No, he looks closer to a work in progress, which we know they don't have a great history with.
I mean, if he keeps it up, you'd say this guy is in position to be day catcher next year.
I'm not going to kill him for a 10-game sample size at AAA this year.
Yeah, I don't care about that yet.
That's way too small to see anything, but like hardly a ready-made guy. Jeff Passan, I think he's the best insider
Passan
going.
Passan is loving this trade for the Buccos.
And the only reason that's curious is...
After he has slammed the Pirates so much this year.
We know he's not getting it from somebody over there and running with it because he has killed them every chance he's gotten this year.
Here is all of you want to talk about David Bednar, as you would expect here with this trade. Let's get Johnny's thoughts next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guy. You know, I'm feeling kind of inspired today, man, for real, with what the Pirates are doing here. Because it's not hard to get where you want to be as long as you're moving forward. And I think we have been kind of under the radar. I think... Look, we didn't get a lot of breaks for a lot of years. This guy would get hurt. That guy would get hurt. I think we started to get some breaks. We got young players that are healthy. We're kicking them out the door, but we're giving them a nice little landing place. We're like, thank you for all the years, but we're at the end of a rebuild, and next year is it. For real, man, if this ownership doesn't get this one with the everything coming, it's like a synergy. It all came together at once. And it's next year's the year. We got the pitcher. Now we got – if I was going to build a team, it'd be a stud pitcher, stud catcher. Right there, that would be number one.
And you think this guy's a stud catcher?
I don't know if he is, but that's how I would build a team. And it has to be a stud catcher that the pitcher respects.
Johnny, you sparking one up yet today?
Oh, yeah, man. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. I had a feeling that was happening.
What was that? I think he was talking about, like, karma. We found them a good landing space.
You know, one of the things that Jim Rutherford used to do all the time as Penguins GM when they were winning Stanley Cups and they were a great hockey team was he would make a mistake and he would immediately try to cover up and make up for his mistake. And he was really good at that. He made a bad signing. Like, oops, I shouldn't have brought Rob Scuderi back. That was my bad. Go and flip him for Trevor Daley. He would do those kind of things all the time.
And that one helped win him a cup.
It did. So, yes, like, it is, I do commend them in a way for admitting that Henry Davis is not their catcher of the future.
I don't think they just traded for Trevor Daley, though, so to speak.
But also, like, you're having to admit that Henry Davis is...
A failure.
Yeah.
You failed. You made this pick. You had the first overall pick in a draft, and you failed.
Because you coveted a young catcher in this trade.
And he's not even young.
And so Bart was, like...
Bart was a flash in the
pan. He was found money last year and got people kind of excited. That was a fluke. Andy Rodriguez was supposed to be the complete package, but he's either hurt or when he plays, he's not good. So they're going to try again with this guy. But
it's kind of like the Steelers inside linebacker thing. We're going to keep throwing stuff at the wall because and it's a much more important position in the scheme of things, but like they keep failing at it one way or the other.
One of the things Zangrilli said in here on Monday, his argument for not trading Bednar or Keller now was, I just don't want them to trade these guys for non-major leaguers. And the best time to trade them for major leaguers is in the offseason when you can make more baseball trades. He, like many, was afraid that the Pirates would assume risk in players that have potential, but there's concern about them being able to actually ever meet their potential. This Flores is a risk. He's a diamond in the rough player who went undrafted, who's produced in the minor leagues.
So far.
But so far.
And he's coming to a team with very little track record of getting position players to produce.
Yeah, but he's two levels away He's got to play well at AAA, and then he's got to get to the majors and do well, and he's got zero pedigree to speak of.
None. Although that could be overrated because we just talked about the 1-1 pick being terrible.
Right. Good point. Touche.
But I'm not saying that is like some great defense of it. I'm just saying it is almost just like a flippant counter.
Hayden is next. Hello, Hayden.
Hey, I think the trade is pretty meaningless. All it's going to do, it just pushes that future down the road. The catcher in AAA can't hit, so he'll fit in nice here.
Well, he has hit in the minor league so far. I mean, he hit 21 home runs last year, and he's got 16 this year. So you say he can't hit. He's shown he can hit so far in baseball.
In AAA this year, he hasn't. He's hitting .211.
That's in 10 games, though. I'm not going to make big sweeping judgments about a guy over 10 games.
Correct.
Yeah, I get that, but all it's going to do, it just pushes that future down the road, and the future never gets here.
So what did you want? So what did you want them to do then, just out of curiosity?
Well, it says that they were looking for a top five prospect for Bednar, and then you got a 8th-ranked prospect from the Yankees who don't have a strong farm system. Then you got 2 low-A ball players who we won't see until 2028, 2029, who they won't have much of an impact for us anyway.
All right, so Hayden hates the trade.
I think so far we've gotten people who are really detesting what they've done here.
The Twitter account that is extremely popular this time of year called Baseball Trade Values is saying that this is an overpay by the Yankees. They like this trade.
When was the last time we talked about that one? They had a very strong opinion, and I got into it with that account online on the Twitterverse because they value the prospects almost always more than the player. Was what I recall.
They look at Bednar and Flores as having just about equal value, but then you get Perez and Sanchez thrown in there, and they think that's what puts the deal over the top.
The deal is rejected by our model as an overpay by New York.
Yep.
God, I wish I could remember the last time I cited baseball trade values because I just thought that their methodology was very strange.
Jim Rosati tweeting, Ben Cherington, we need to make the 2026 Pirates better. Ben Cherington, make the 2026 Pirates worse. Well,
you like that Jim Rosati account.
Well, it's in theory so far, he's right because they've taken major league players off their roster and they've replaced them with prospects. Other than Rogers, the relief pitcher from
who might never play for
the Reds, who might be gone in the next 2.5 hours. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just keep hammering home this point. I don't like the Bednar trade because I don't like the guy who made the trade. And unless it just was overwhelmingly one-sided where I had to say, yeah, a blind squirrel found a nut, I'm not really going to trust Ben Cherington on big trades.
You know what I'm feeling like right now? The guy who said, yeah, you've got to let him make these deals anyway. You can't live in fear that he'll make a bad one. I just don't want to wonder about what will happen if their value goes down and they get nothing from a new GM.
Yeah,
I'm already feeling like regret because it just already feels like he's gone 1-for-1 and screwing up.
So you said at 2
said,
o'clock,
said
I want Ben Cherington
ago.
Getting traded,
said,
and now 90
said,
minutes later you want to take that back?
Through teeth that were grinding to a fine powder, I said this is the best of 2 bad options or potentially fraught options, and he has already made me feel bad about that.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody on, 2-0 Pirates in the ninth. Here's the set and the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Bednar gets him on the curveball, and the Pirates shut out Arizona 2-0 on the Cruz home run. That does it for the Bucks tonight.
That'll be David Bednar's final save in Pittsburgh. Final game as a Pirates closer at PNC Park. We'll see if he comes back here with the Yankees and nails down some saves, if he's even used in that role. They traded for Devin Williams this past offseason, but he's been shaky at times this year. He will team up with, well, Garrett Cole's not pitching this year because of Tommy John. Trying to think if there's any other former Pirates who are a part of that.
that organization
now. Yeah.
New York Yankees. I'm not seeing a ton here.
Yeah.
Not seeing much.
Harry Callis's deep thoughts on this trade.
Yeah.
I have thoughts, but the more I think about those thoughts, the more my thoughts make me think I should stop thinking.
JT Brubaker on the Yankees.
That's right. How's he doing this year?
He has pitched in 11 games with a 3.21 ERA.
Whatever happened to the 17-year-old that the Pirates got back in that trade? Remember, he was considered to be a toolsy guy?
Yes. Was it Kiner Delgado?
Yes, it was Kiner Delgado.
Kiner Delgado, at last check, is playing for Greensboro right now.
Oh, and we know Ben Cherington's talked about that team like they're the 27 Yankees of minor league
baseball.
He
is 21 years old, so he's still not super, he's not like old for that, yeah, that level. 774 OPS, 12 jacks.
Okay.
Hitting 248, getting on base a ton.
All right. That's maybe,
doesn't look horrible.
Congratulations, Ben Cherington. We found a trade that doesn't suck.
28 extra base hits in 91 games. That's not terrible. Decent. He's kind of a moneyball looking type of player.
Tommy Pham still here. IKF still here. Andrew Heaney still here. Mitch Keller still here. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. Dennis Santana still here with relief pitchers getting traded left and right. Jason Mackey with us last hour said he does not anticipate a Mitch Keller trade that now seems to be universally thought around the league. I actually heard they might have a hard time trading Heaney because he's been so bad. And he might be one of these expiring contracts they get stuck with.
That, by the way, that like level of the guy just doesn't keep performing at a high level is why I ultimately wanted them to make deals while there was big value. And again, Ben Cherington has so far made me regret that by seemingly trading a dollar for, what, 60 cents, 65 cents at most from the Yankees?
Here is Don in Turtle Creek. Hello, Don.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I definitely agree with you on the Cherington aspect of this, that he shouldn't be the one deals. However, getting rid of Bednar is part of the reason why we are where we are. He came into the season not ready. He finished last season not ready. And would you, you know, risk your life on him saving games going into the future and being physically ready to perform at a high level? Ryan Hayes, he's part of the reason why we are where we
are. Are you saying that like it's a slight on Bednar that he didn't have
that
himself
prepared to go?
That he was
out of baseball shape and that that's part of the reason he struggled is the implication. Is that correct?
I know what my eyes see when he's standing on the mound. And I know last year when we saw Chapman out there, he looked like a Greek god. And I know Chapman was ready last year and this year. And
So what's that mean? Because he's a heavier set guy, you don't think he prepares or gets himself ready as well as Chapman does? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that he's had a issue with back problems, right?
Yes, CC Sabathia just went into the Hall of Fame, and he's not a skinny guy.
So a heavier set guy that is getting older is going to continue to have those problems, or at least run the risk of it. You're going to put the money towards Bednar?
I don't know, Don. He's basically built like Goose Gossage, who was a Hall of Fame closer for 20 years.
Well,
I feel like baseball history is replete with big boys closing
games. Would you bet on
Bednar
performing at a high level going forward?
I was pretty skeptical of him in the early part of this year, and then he came back and looked like absolute nails, which
I
have to give him a ton of credit for.
In games that meant nothing against teams that
you're going to find out. You are going to find out.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let me flip the question on you. Do you trust Rafael Flores to develop into a good hitting catcher in the major leagues?
I have no idea about him other than what I'm reading online and what you guys are saying.
Exactly.
I have no idea. But I know with the limited payroll that they have, do I trust that money being spent on Bednar closing games going into the future?
Do you want them
to
trade
Sam?
My question then is, do you want them to trade Sam? Well,
what was the question?
I was going to ask him if he wanted them to trade Santana.
I think the answer has to be yes.
Well, no, he only weighs $190, so he's somebody you've got to keep around.
Adam Marshall is the play-by-play voice of the Scranton. They used to be the Yankees. Now I think they're called the Railroad Cutters or
Rail Splitters. I bet
it's something like that. They've changed these up on me. When I was working in the International League, they were just the
Rail
Yankees.
Riders.
Rail
the
Riders.
The Rail Splitters was Sebastian Telfair's high school team nickname.
Okay, he is joining us on the fan hotline right now. Adam, you've actually watched Rafael Flores play baseball. What can you tell us about him?
I'll tell you, he is he's a good guy first and foremost. He's been around our team just the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
He joined us post-big league break. He's caught 8-9 straight games. Projectable build, 6'4", a lot of size to him. I think he can be a hitter, to answer the previous question. 15 home runs in Somerset, hit one for us last week in Rochester. The word on him is elite receiver, which we've got the challenge system here. He's learning that, I think. We'll see where that takes him in the future, but it's a projectable build. It is a guy that I think fans will like. I think he'll gravitate to fans. He's got that kind of electric personality, which doesn't quite win baseball games, but I think he is just such a good character person. It's a good ad for the Bucket.
What is his story like? Because you look him up on Baseball Reference, you don't even see a junior college that produced Longoria. You don't see a draft position. Can you give us the skinny? Because it feels like this guy just appeared from the ether as a Yankees prospect.
It was very much that junior college path for him. As much as Baseball Reference doesn't give you much, there isn't much. He's just developed into this prospect in his time, and the growth that he had after signing up with the Yankees really put him into this spot. Baseball, MLB Pipeline put him at number 8 in their most recent rankings, up 7 this year. He's been able to hit the ball well, and the story, we're still learning it, quite honestly, whenever he might have been shipped away from us. So that's really where it was. He's been a good influence on this team so far. We've had some good catchers this season that have gone on to the big leagues, and I'm very curious to see where things go for here from him.
Adam, what build-wise, who does he remind you of? I mean, you've watched hundreds of catchers come through the minor leagues. Does he remind you of anybody from a build, right-handed bat kind of prototype that you would say, yeah, he does have that kind of look about him?
A 6'4" catcher is a little bit unusual to me. I can't think of another one that is in that range. Like, is he O'Neill Cruz starting at shortstop and going to center field because of that build? No. But I think there's some possibility there. He also has it could be a first baseman kind of.
Did he play first for you guys at all at AAA, or did he strictly catch?
He caught every single game since he joined our roster
okay.
The Saturday out of the big league break.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if there's necessarily a comp. I don't know if I saw enough of him in the last 2 weeks to give it that perspective. It is a big body, and I think there's still room for growth and power added to him.
Is he the kind of guy who you're going to get power on that frame, but you're going to have to tolerate a lot of strikeouts as a result? Like somebody who's just going to be a bit of a 3 true outcomes type of player?
I think he can make good contact. He was hitting very well in Somerset. He was still learning AAA pitching, so I'm not sold that this is, you know, something for Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah.
This month, this season, but moving forward, I certainly think it can be an option for for the Pirates.
Adam Marsho, the voice of the Scranton baseball team, the AAA affiliate of the Yankees, who was also a B94 intern. So he was on this station.
I thought I recognized a West Virginia area code
He was a part of this station before it flipped formats 25 years ago.
I grew up in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, and was an intern at B94, Y108, and the whole family there for parts of 2 years as the broadcaster for the West Virginia Power 8 seasons when they were a Pirates affiliate.
What are your thoughts on Dan Zangrilli? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Be honest.
I love Dan. Oh. Dan is a I'm done. Dan's a good friend.
Okay.
And we go back. We started at the same time, 2007. He was in State College. I was in Williamsport. So it is it's a long time friendship with Dan.
We have a long time lifelong friend of Dan Zangrilli on with us.
Finally found one in the wild. Memories of B94, the old version of this station? Any big memories as an intern?
Oh, going to concerts at Star Lake.
Bubba would have been there. He's still here.
Yeah, he's still collecting a paycheck.
I'm well aware. My parents still live in the Leechburg area, so I'm back there a couple of times a year. The concerts, Bare Naked Ladies, maybe Smash Mouth at like
Smash Mouth.
Summer Stretch 2001.
Oh, that sounds like a banger right there. There are probably people listening who were there and took their shirts off for that concert, Adam.
I was not one of them, but I'm working. The giant B-94 inflatable that you basically rolled across to fold back up and throw in the promo van.
Yeah, I think we still have
Ron,
that promo
Ron
van.
Ron Mann, good, you know, good guy in the promo department back then.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, Adam. Well, great catching up with you, and thanks for the mini scouting report. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.